Hey, good morning, everybody. Back live and in person here after the first week of deer season, and we're just having a good time hunting this week and doing what we do. So we and thank you for joining us, and we hope if you're on your way hunting, you'll give us a call and tell us where you're going and what you're using. If you got the kids with you, put them on the air and say hi, and jump in that muzzleloader contest. The muzzleloader contest for December starts today, but we also have to draw for the November muzzleloader. So anyone who calls, leaves their number, goes on the air, is entered in the contest for November and December. So you get a twofer today. Two for one. That's right. You just simply call, leave your phone number, go on the air, say hi, or hey, I want to be in the contest, or discuss anything you want to discuss, and you're in the contest. We're going to draw that winner for November at the end of the show today. Hi, I'm Alan Ellis. Did I say that? Well, if I didn't, now you know. We've been doing this show for a long, long time. What year is this? 2012, 88, almost 24 years, huh? Huh, Brian? 24 years. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's how that works. How was your deer season? Did you get one? Did you see any? Did you have trouble with the wind on the first day? Did you get out during the week? I want to know. I'm going to tell you about my deer season. As you know, if you listen on a regular basis, I was not here last week. I was in a deer stand with my grandson, Jacob. And Jacob's had a tough season. Jacob's had a pretty tough season. He sure has. Jacob missed a big doe in muzzleloader season. He shot underneath her. And that was a shame. Then in youth season, he took a shot at a buck and didn't get it. And that was a shame. And then last Saturday, he sat in the stand from daylight till 12:30. We went in for lunch. We had a great lunch with good friends. Went back out in the stand, and he said, "Why are we going out? Why are we going out so early in the afternoon, 2 o'clock?" I said, "Well," I said, "everybody else is coming out at 2:30, 3 o'clock, so we're going to be in the stand just in case they bump anything on their way to the stands," which some of them were past us and, you know, in the area around us. As a matter of fact, there were three stands that were occupied that were on our side. When I say on our side of the farm, our side of the road, whatever you want to say. So anyway, we're sitting there, nothing. I said, "Jacob, we've got 15 minutes left, and just like that, it's getting dark, you know, it's sun's down." Two deer come busting down off the ridge and stopped right in front of us. It was a buck and a doe. And I honestly still don't know what size buck it was. I have no idea. I just know it was a buck and a doe. Could have been a spike. Could have been a 10-point. But I don't think it was 10-point. Anyway, Jacob did not have a shot. The deer stopped behind a tree. Even though they're 35 yards away, you cannot shoot through a hickory tree. So he did not. He did not try to wound a deer. He did not take a bad shot. You know, he didn't shoot it in the body. He didn't try to shoot it in the head. I was very pleased with Jacob and not taking that shot. The doe and the buck, the doe led the buck off into the woods, and away they went. I thought, oh, man, it's over. And just like that, God blessed us. He smiled upon us. He sent us another deer, a 6-point buck, come busting down through the woods and stopped 30 yards in front of Jacob broadside. And I said, "There he is. Go ahead." He shot, hit the deer. Deer jumped, ran a few feet, stopped broadside. I'm sure it was dead on its feet. And I said, "Shoot him again." And he did. And we had a face plant, and everything was good. So Jacob got his buck, everybody, just so you know. More later, but we've got a lot of calls waiting here. Emerson, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Alan. Great to talk to you again. I love your show.
Thanks, man.
Okay, I'm not hunting this year, personal reasons.
Okay.
I have a turkey story for you.
Go ahead.
Okay, out in the Lock Raven area.
Yep.
There's a two-lane highway and a lot of traffic going through there. Well, anyhow, I'm coming home from work one day, and I see this wild turkey staring at a little statue. Guy has a statue like 3 foot tall holding his mailbox up.
Right.
And it's a statue of a little girl in a blue dress.
Okay.
Well, anyhow, I'll see this wild turkey standing right there staring at this. And traffic's going by. The turkey's not flinching at all.
Right.
And I figured him to be about 17, 19 pounds with a 4 or 5 inch beard on him.
Okay.
It looked too real, you know, not to be real. So the curiosity got me. I drove down towards the end of the road, turned around, came back up, found a little place to park. I get out and I walk up like a city block to get to him. And traffic's still going by. So I walk right up to this. And he didn't flinch. He just kept staring at this statue. And I just reached over with my finger and I touched him on the wing. And he turned his head and looked at me. He didn't run, didn't try to fly away, didn't do anything. Just went back to staring at this statue. And I swear to God, I could have just scooped him up right there and taken him back to my truck, but I didn't. But I told other people this story, and then finally I came across some other people who had seen this exact same bird doing the same thing. So I just thought I'd pass it out. It's a weird turkey story for me.
That's pretty funny.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And thank you very much for putting me in both contests.
You're welcome, and thank you for giving us a call and sharing that great story. That's pretty funny. I don't know anybody who's ever tried to touch a wild turkey.
It baffled me.
I tried to catch a flock of them up in Western Maryland one time. We had turkeys along the fence, and I thought, you know, I'll just grab one of those and see if I can do it. I took my jacket off and tried to surround it, and backed it right up against the fence. And I'm approaching, and I'm thinking, boy, I'm going to have some success here. All I have to do is spring. And the turkey read my mind and went straight up in the air and over the fence. They all left, and I had an experience. But those birds weren't mesmerized by anything, that's for sure. But that's funny.
Well, I don't know. There's something about this statue and this one bird. I don't know what it is, but I realistically could have just slowly scooped it up in my arms and walked off with it.
Wow. You wouldn't have liked that experience, trust me, on a wild turkey.
No.
All right, Emerson, thanks for the call.
Okay, Alan.
See you, buddy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And, Kirk, I'm going to get to you in a minute, but we've got Jane in Lutherville. Good morning. How are you?
Hello?
Yes?
Hi, sweetie. I love your show.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I wanted to get in the contest for my grandson.
Okay, you're in.
Okay, it was the first time he went hunting, and he shot at a doe.
Yep.
And my two sons and him, they could not find that doe.
Yeah, that happens.
They went the next day, and the next day, and they still couldn't find it. But they did find, someone told them if they have a spray with bleach on it, they could tell if there was blood. And they did. There was, some leaves around, and they sprayed that, and they found there was blood. So he did hit that doe.
Yeah, was it bleach or was it hydrogen peroxide?
Probably peroxide, right?
Yeah, it'll bubble up like that, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's some of the old stuff they used to put food coloring in hydrogen peroxide and sell it for a tracking spray.
Okay, that's what they tried, and they said at least they knew that there was a blood trail, but they could not define it.
Well, give your grandson, hearten your grandson by telling him that the deer, if there was that much effort, that the deer survived and is doing just fine.
Oh, true. That's terrific. I love your program, sweetie.
Thanks, Jane.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yep, been there, done that. Dale in Baltimore, good morning.
Hello, I just wanted to get in the contest.
You're in.
All right, sir, thank you much.
All right, Dale, thanks, buddy.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Kirk, good morning.
Good morning.
Sorry for the wait.
Oh, no problem. I just wanted to tell you, I enjoyed your show last week.
Oh, good.
And listening to it, it brought back so many memories. And I thought about my first time hunting, and we hunted on a farm outside of Everett. And,
yep.
I had never hunted there before, and I can still remember getting out of the car, and we're all standing there talking, and my father insisted I use his 30-30, and I thought that was pretty good, but it was snowing really hard, and so So we went off, and I almost immediately I found a deer track, and you could see where he was dragging a leg.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, you'd see spots of blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I started off following that, and I followed it for a long time, and I just it was totally quiet, no one around. I mean, you'd think you're in the middle of nowhere, and I just kept following it, and I found I was in the bottom of a deep ravine, and it just petered out. It was just like it disappeared.
Right.
And I'm trying to circle around, looking, and then I look around, and it dawns on me. I'm lost. I didn't know where. I mean, I was totally disoriented. Didn't know where I was.
Been there.
And I'm standing there, and it's so quiet, and I hear a school bell, and I climb up the top of the ravine, and I'm directly behind Everett High School.
Hey, that's vertical country out there too, buddy.
Listening to your show last week, I was thinking about that, and I'm sitting, no one else is awake, and I'm thinking, I'm laughing, and so many memories, and that kind of thing comes up.
Oh, man.
But it was just, it really puts you in your place that you ain't not no Davy Crockett.
No, you ain't Davy Crockett. I'll tell you what. I've been there. Some of those ridges, you know, you go up one side and you think you're coming back the other side, and you've actually gone to the bottom and you're coming back on the side of another ridge. So you're a ridge over from where you wanted to be. It's amazing. Yeah, it is. So
I received a phone call last night that really made me sad, because I've fished with the same guide since 1978.
Right,
Bud and Mary's. At least 1 week a year I would always be able to get there to fish.
Isla Mirada, yes, sir.
And he's just a great, great guy. He gets even more worked up about the fish than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And he called last night to tell me we're talking and tell me that the blues are in there. And that was the first year in '78 when I fished with him, and we were going out, and he said the blues are in. And I thought, well, I wasn't there to catch blues. I mean, to me that was.
Yeah,
get them all the time, but down there, they get
a big deal
about it.
Yeah,
and he said we're going to catch some. And he said then we're going to get some makos. We're going to go out to the home.
Oh man!
So to catch good sized blues, I mean really nice sized blues, put them in the live well, go out there, hook them up, and tie a balloon above them, and you watch that balloon start to skitter around when.
They get a little nervous, don't they?
When someone's in the area,
mm-hmm.
it was just when he was telling me about it last night that they're there and how good it is and this kind of thing. And I was glad that the makos haven't fallen off. But
yep.
The fact that I can't be there to be doing that kind of thing, it really makes you sad. It really does. But that is one of the things, and one of the many things I like about your show is that it. And you listen, it brings back so many different memories.
Glad to hear.
And it's just really great to miss something so much. It's sad, but it's great that you have such memories.
So many memories, exactly.
It really is. So I just want to tell you about that, and that I'm listening, and you have a good holiday.
All right, buddy. You too. Stay in touch, okay?
All right.
Thanks, Kirk.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes. We got Jerry in Mount Airy going hunting, and then Vince in Glenarm. Good morning, Jerry. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Alan. How are you?
Good. What's up?
I'm getting ready. I'm from Catonsville. I came out here to Mount Airy to hunt the Woodbrook Cooperative Wildlife Management Area.
Okay. Good for you.
And to get in the muzzleloader contest, I'm feeling a little lucky this year. I won the lottery to get into the hunting area here. It's on a lottery for opening
day.
And then I won a 19-inch color TV at the Patronage of the Mother of God Byzantine Catholic Church.
Wow, you are feeling lucky.
But last week I came out and I saw a decent buck, but I couldn't quite get a good shot on him. I almost pulled the trigger on him. But
well, when it's not good, it's not good, and it usually winds up not good.
It wasn't quite right, so I'm hoping to see him again this year. Of course, you know,
yep.
I think there's a little bit of pressure out here, so I don't know if I'll see him again this week or
yep.
if he's still alive.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Yep.
You can't get him sitting at home, though, can you?
Nope. I'm ready to go, though.
All right, buddy. Appreciate the call.
All All right, have a good
day. I'd tell you good luck, but you already got it.
Yeah. I hope I got luck this morning. I hope I got luck with the muzzleloader. I could use one with a scope on it.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye. There he goes. Let's see who's next here. That would be Vince in Glenarm. Morning, Vince. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Good, thank you.
I just was calling in. That's your grandson's story. That's, I've been taking my son out.
Yeah.
And that's, he's gotten a button buck and a big doe.
Oh, good for him. Yeah.
He's fired a gun twice and killed two deer, and he's 8 years old, so I was pretty happy with that.
I guess so. Wow. What caliber guns are you using?
He has a what he calls his mini muzzle with Thompson Center Impact.
Uh huh.
And he used that on the button buck, and then as I borrowed a .243 from my cousin, and he shot the doe with that.
Yeah, .243 is a good caliber to start a kid out with. So good deal. All right. Well, there's more to my week, so I know you're headed to the tree stand. You won't get to hear it, but. It was a fun week. No deer in my bag, but it was a good time. So,
yeah, well, he had another button buck come out and was behind some stuff, and he held his shot, so I was pretty proud of him on that.
That's good. That's all. Like I was proud of Jacob. I said that, you know, he didn't have a shot on the doe, and the buck stopped, and he didn't try to force a shot on the buck, and, you know, watched it walk away. I'm sure it was heartbreaking, but, hey, when you don't have a shot, you don't have a shot. So, all right, buddy.
Yep, same thing.
All right. Thanks, Vince. See ya. We got Sydney going to wait and Jim is going to wait, but it's time for me to tell you to come see over 100 hunting, fishing, boating, and outdoor specialists to help you plan your next adventure. Plenty of local Chesapeake Bay experts as well as African safari guides and big game specialists, premier gun experts, and you're supposed to bring a big truck. That's for the that's for all the sales and all the hunting supplies. Now, what am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about a show coming up. It's coming up soon, January. And not all the details were precisely in the script that I've got. So I'm ad-libbing here a little bit as we go. So be patient with me. I started something. And my producer's laughing his butt off at me, and that's okay, because there it is. I'm talking about the Outdoor Sportsman Expo, the Mid-Atlantic Outdoor Sportsman Expo, coming up at the Showplace Arena in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. That's January 11th, January 12th, and January 13th. Now, you can win an African safari. Razor Dobbs. I don't know if you've seen Razor Dobbs on NBC Sports or not, but Razor's going to be there along with a lot of experts. And our promoter said bring a big truck to fit all the fishing tackle available for purchase and a huge selection of outdoor gear. The guest speakers will cover topics like targeting rockfish in the Chesapeake, preparing for your first African hunt, tackling the bay with light tackle. Go to www.outdoorssportsmanexpo.com. You can purchase your tickets. And you'll be entered in a drawing there, too. So, if you're an exhibitor, you have a hunting business, and you'd like to be there, well, go to OutdoorSportsmansExpo.com, and you can learn more information. Coming up January 11th, 12th, and 13th, the Showplace Arena in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. That's the Outdoor Sportsman Expo. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner. The best new ATVs and side-by-sides of 2013 have arrived. They're at Pete's Cycle right now, just in time for the Polaris Holiday Sales Event. Now, you can get financing as low as 2.99% on all Polaris ATVs and side-by-sides, including the new 2013s. Plus, rebates up to $1,000 on select 2012 models. You heard right. Financing as low as 2.99% and rebates up to $1,000 on legendary sportsmen, the powerful Rangers, razor-sharp razors, and the industry's most complete collection of youth models. Hurry to Pete's Cycle Company in the town of Bel Air, Baltimore, Severna Park, before December 31st for low financing and huge rebates during the Polaris Holiday Sales Event. And don't miss the Polaris Holiday Sales Event today, Saturday, December 1st, for even bigger savings at all the locations. You can go to PeteCycle.com for all that. Offer ends December 31st. Rebates vary by model. Financing rates based on credit worthiness. See Pete's Cycle for details. ATVs can be hazardous to operate. Polaris adult models are for riders age 16 and older. Always wear a helmet and be sure to take a training course. Polaris Rangers are not intended for on-road use.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone Tire for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
The National Rifle Association's Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show is coming to Frederick, Maryland, January 25th through 27th at the Frederick Fairgrounds. See over 200 hunting and fishing exhibitors, the NRA Great American Whitetail Collection, nationally known seminar our speakers, the Mason-Dixon Big Buck Contest, and more. General admission, $10. NRA members, $8. Kids under 9 admitted free. Weekend passes are available. It's the 2013 NRA Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show, January 25th through 27th at the Frederick Fairgrounds. Visit NRAHuntingShow.org for more information.
Hey, drive home with me, Sean Hannity, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
It sits above the mantel on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. Granddaddy's gun, he bought it new out of the Sears and Roebuck catalog, and it shot a mini shell over the top of an old bird dog. And it backed a burglar down when Grandma took the safety off Granddaddy's gun.
It's just a dumb. All right, we're back. Let's see, we got Jim on the Eastern Shore. Sydney is next. Where is he? There he is. And then Jim, and then Robin, and Rick, and whoever else. Good morning. How are you, Sydney?
Okay, how are you?
Good, what's up?
I just wanted to tell about, I did a lot of goose hunting and duck hunting in the Tillman area. And one day I'm driving down there and I saw what appeared to be a child standing on the side of the road. When I got up to it, it was a peacock. And that's all the story is.
Really? Well, that's a pretty funny story. I had a kind of a mistaken identity story when I shot my bear up in Canada, my first one in 2007. I walked a mile up this logging road to the, quote, main road, which was another logging road, basically. And I looked way down the road, and I saw somebody standing down at the end of the road, or down in the middle of the road. And I looked, and I waved, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, you had to see me. I waved again, and no reaction. So I just stood there and watched for a minute, and finally the moose turned sideways, and I could see it was a moose. That's how I was looking straight on, and you know, I guess my eyes were messed up or something, but I couldn't tell what it was. I thought it was a person standing down there. So
isn't that amazing how it is? You get back in the woods, and it's just starting to get daylight, and I'll see a stump and swear it's a deer.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, there are some peacocks. People keep some peacocks, and Dorchester County has a few, and. Yeah. We were, I can't remember, I think it was my grandson and I were driving down through Dorchester County one day. Yeah, it was. And a peacock flew across the road in front of us. And he goes, "What was that?" They're a pretty impressive bird.
Yeah, they are. So, they're nice.
Yep. Thanks, Sydney. Appreciate it.
Okay, nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you. Congratulations. I mean, good luck. That's what I meant to say.
Same to you.
Bye-bye. There we go. I'm really messed up today. Jim on the Eastern Shore, good morning. How are you? Ah, Jim, where'd you go? Jim, come on back. I was coming to you next, buddy. Sorry about that. Hey, you know, we got to do breaks sometimes. Let's see. Who's next? Robin and then Rick. Good morning, Robin. How you doing?
Good morning. I love your program.
Oh, thanks.
I live in Dulles Point. I'm traveling to the Eastern Shore.
Right.
Rehoboth, really.
Okay.
Anyway, I wanted to tell you, that's the Western Shore, or whatever. Anyway, I wanted to tell you there are rockfish in the harbor.
Yep.
Baltimore Harbor. I feed the ducks. I go out, take the stale bread, get rid of it, whatever.
Yep.
And
yep.
I couldn't figure out why they weren't coming around. All of a sudden, I saw these things. We have turtles down there, too.
Yeah.
And at first, I thought that's what they were because they'll eat the young, you know, the babies.
Sure.
But the rockfish, it's, I don't know, there must be at least a dozen in this one little cove.
Wow.
Yeah. And I said something to another man who was down there yesterday. He said, oh, yeah. He said, there are 12, 14 inches. He said, maybe one or two is a little bit bigger, but there's. They are there.
They're definitely there,
know,
huh?
I don't know what that means, but it might be a good sign, unless they have three eyes or something.
No. Well, there's always rockfish in the harbor, certain places. I mean, you know, I know Joe Bruce down at Tochterman's.
Tochterman's, yeah.
Yeah, who fly fishes. Joe, years, and I'm talking 15 years ago, was talking about fly fishing for, you know, nice-sized rockfish in the harbor. Uh-huh. So, yeah, they're there. Yep.
Well, they are there. They're plentiful in this little cove, I'll tell you.
Good deal.
All right.
All right, thanks.
Have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. Here we go. Rick in Cecil County. Good morning, Rick. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm just getting ready to head into the woods in Cecil County, and hopefully we'll have some luck today, like you say, and hopefully the other hunters will come in and get something.
North County or South County? North County or South County?
What's that?
North County or South County?
South County. I just seen my first deer. Apparently, it's hitting the road.
Oh, man.
We won't see that one. So,
yeah.
But it's been a good hunt season.
Good.
So far, I was hunting upstate New York and took my son for his first hunt, and he took his first shot, and I sent him down to see if there was any blood. And I said, well, is there any blood? And he said, no. I said, well, what are you looking at? He says, he's right here. I said, is he down? He says, no, he's standing here looking at me. So I slid down the hill to him because I had the gun. I wouldn't let him take the gun down the hill
right.
For safety reasons.
Right.
I slid down the hill, and it was two small doe, and we decided to pass up on them. But they just stood there and watched us for about 20 minutes, and me and him continued to talk, and they just stood there. So it was a great experience for him.
Mom was busy.
Yep.
Mom was probably busy.
Yep.
And left the kids standing out, you know. Staying out to watch TV. So
yeah, well, you know, when they don't have that matriarchal doe with them to keep them under control,
yeah,
that's the way they are.
Oh yeah, I know.
They need that older doe to say, "Let's get out of here."
Yeah, yep.
Okay, well, you have a nice day, and I hope I have a good day hunting.
All right, buddy. Good luck to you, Rick. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye. Yep. Exactly. Key to management hunting on management properties: take the big doe out first, and then you can take the kids. Let's see. Chuck, Tawny Town. How you doing, Chuck?
Pretty good. How you doing, Alan?
Good, man. What's up?
Oh, I'm driving on my way up to Emmitsburg to get my blinds.
Yep. Well.
But I've had a decent season so far. I got a doe out in Ohio on a handicap hunt.
Yep.
And then I got a doe with my crossbow here at the same place in Bone this morning.
Uh-huh.
So hopefully... We'll see something today. It's been kind of tough. I haven't seen anything during gun season.
It's pretty tough out there. Yeah, those three deer we saw last Saturday were the only thing we saw that Saturday in the wind. I mean, it was tremendously windy on the Eastern Shore last weekend. We've seen some deer later in the week. I didn't hunt Monday, didn't hunt Tuesday. Wednesday and Thursday, I might have mentioned Laura, our social media coordinator for the Maryland Hunting Quarterly and Ellis Outdoors. Laura is the daughter of our creative director, Donna Fisher. And Donna and I are, Well, Donna's my girlfriend. And Laura's her daughter. Laura's 34 years old and got into hunting this year. She took her hunter safety course and passed it and is very enthusiastic. So we were in the blind. We were in a little ground blind in Frederick County both Wednesday afternoon and Thursday afternoon. And it's tough. But we saw deer just running like crazy. We don't know what's possessing these deer to just come out of the woods tearing down through the field. We don't know if it's coyotes. We don't know if it's buck chasing or what it is. But we had four deer come out a pretty good distance away. And I told Laura, I said, you know, look, I know how this gun shoots. You're going to need to aim a little bit high, probably 4 inches, because these deer were 160, 170 yards. And she took a shot, and I watched the deer run. We ran. We found where they were standing. We found a little bit of hair. And no blood at all, nothing. And, you know, hour later, we still found nothing. And then eventually she said, you know, I forgot to hold high. So I know what happened. She skinned the deer on the brisket. And all we had was a handful of hair. So that happens. And then Thursday, I was very proud of her as well. Same kind of shot, same area, same location, that same 160-yard shot. She tracked a deer all the way across the field with the scope and didn't take the shot. I kept waiting. I said, why didn't you shoot? And she said, the deer was too small. And it was by itself. So I'm thinking it could have been a button buck. Maybe she was, you know, practicing some management or whatever, but she just didn't take the shot. So, you know, after this discussion, I looked to my right and standing 30 yards to my right, a deer had just come out of the woods. And I said, shoot that one. And she couldn't get turned around in time. The deer busted us in the blind and away he went. But that was a good experience. We had a good time. So
I had an interesting experience on Sunday. I was in the blind at about 7 o'clock. I heard deer blowing, just completely snorting and nonstop for 15 minutes. Crashing and leaves and sticks and snorting and snorting. And all of a sudden, the doe comes out about 70 yards away, moving pretty good. Right behind her was a buck.
Mm-hmm.
Then about 2 minutes later, comes another buck. They were there, and they were making that noise the whole way up the mountain. I couldn't get a shot. It takes me a little while to get my rifle up.
Yep. What kind of noise?
Like the snort that you hear.
Oh, they have blowing and snorting. Yeah, chasing each other.
Yeah, the doe went first, then another buck, and then a couple minutes later was a big buck, big rack on him.
Right.
And they went up the mountain, and my one buddy got a shot at the doe, missed, and then his son missed the buck.
Oh, man.
So that was the only deer we saw for the weekend.
Wow. Where was this?
Up here in Evansburg.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you'll get lucky on that buck today. Yeah, they've been real active as far as the bucks chasing the does. So,
well, I mean, I've got a lot of bucks on my trail cam. I mean, there's at least three or four 8 points. I got a 12 point, a couple of 7 points, and a 6 and a 4. I've had on my camera all year. So,
wow, cool.
Most of them are still on my camera as of Wednesday when I pulled the car.
Not in the truck, huh? All right.
No, but they're not in anybody else's, so that means I still got a chance.
Exactly. Good deal. All right, buddy. Good luck to you.
I'm here anyway, so
yep.
Talk to you later.
All right, buddy. Take care. Bye-bye. There he goes. Let's see who's next. Charles in Africa talking about leopards in Africa, South Africa, and then Jim in Pasadena. I'll get to you in just a second, Jim. Good morning, Charles. How are you?
Good morning, and I want to wish you a wonderful Christmas and a happy New Year.
Well, thank you. Same to you, sir.
I went down to South Africa to see the first heart transplant with a group of men, and we were told that there was a leopard killing a lot of animals, and sheep particularly, and he was eating one when we came up on him. He was killed while eating a sheep, and he was taken to a Kruger National Park for an autopsy. And the leopard was full of cancer. It had kidney cancer and was dying from it. And the skin was all full of cancer. And I thought to myself, my gosh, if anybody ate that thing, God knows what they would introduce to their body. They had developed a new autopsy for animals in which they could disclose all the arteries and veins. And I thought that was an interesting story.
It is. Indeed. So you actually observed this leopard before it was killed?
Yes.
Wow.
We all
now, was that with
a group at like a hunting party?
Was that Michael DeBakey?
I don't remember.
No, who did? No, who did?
30 years ago.
Who did the heart transplant?
The first heart transplant doctor.
Yeah, was that Michael DeBakey?
No.
It was not.
No, it wasn't him. He had a gorgeous wife, and she was a blonde, and. They had a home like an old Southern mansion.
Mm-hmm.
It was a block long.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite an experience, that trip.
Mm-hmm. So you remember, you didn't mention anything about the heart transplant. You mentioned the leopard and the blonde wife. I'm wondering where your mind was, Charles, at that point.
I'll give you one guess.
All right, Charles, the most interesting man in the world. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you for your program. Oh, how I enjoy it. You bring back all these old memories.
Oh, I wish I could bring back some from my hunts in Africa, but I can't. So, all right, brother. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. There he goes. Jim in Pasadena. Good morning.
Good morning, Alan. How are we doing, sir?
Good, you, Al. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm headed back out.
Yeah.
Hopefully you got those pictures perfect for you.
Which pictures, Jim?
I sent those ones. It's Wired for Sound.
The Wired for Sound. Was that you?
Yes, that was
me. Man, let me tell you what. That's pretty wild. Tell me the story about that buck.
Well,
tell our listeners the story.
Well, I think I got him back on in September on my trail cam. I'm not sure. I got 4 or 5 bucks tenor about that size.
Right.
So, and I think I got him as he was heading out of my camera. But all week we've been having this full moon, so it's like, you know, I've been reserving from hunting first thing in the morning.
Yeah, tough hunt, and, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's just brutal. So I got off work on early Thursday, so I'm like, okay, well, told my buddy I'm going to go hunt. So I ran to the house, grabbed all my stuff, headed to Bowie. Got my tree stand at 2 o'clock in the morning, drinking a little soda pop and eating a candy bar. And about 2:45, I seen the shadow coming out of the woods. All up the hollow, about 100 yards away, and all of a sudden I seen all, because you see with the horns,
yeah,
right off them horns, man, it just lit them up.
I bet.
So I jumped across a little creek, stepped up, I put the...
Now you said in the morning, you're talking about in the afternoon.
In the afternoon, yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, I worked all morning.
I got you, okay.
12.
Yep.
So then by the time I got to the house, back down to the stand, it was like 2 o'clock.
Right.
They come up over top, and he set up on top of this little knoll, sit there broadside for me about 115 yards out, and I'm shooting a Mossberg with the important SSTs.
Yeah.
Well, they put deer down, one shot, they're dead.
Yep.
So I put the crosshairs on, set the gun on the monopod, pulled the trigger, went running up over the top of the hill, and disappeared. Didn't hear any more noise or nothing like that, so I'm trying to compose myself now because, man, you know,
yeah,
got the old energy going and everything else. Get down out of the stand, proceed to go hunt for him and go where I shot him at, no blood. I'm like, oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, this can't be, right?
Yeah.
I know this gun. There's no way. So I started walking up a little trolley random to get to the top of it, and I still no blood. So I'm like, all right, I'm a religious man. I said, all right, God, help me out on Monday, find a doe that I shot.
Yep.
You know, I said, show me a sign. Someone says, you know, told me to turn around, look over my right shoulder, and there he was, all balled up.
Yep.
I still hadn't realized he had all this wire wrapped around him until I got up on top of him. When I found that, I mean, that was, he had wire on his right palmetto. It's just a big knob, and it runs all the way around his neck like 4 times. And it gouged his neck out so bad it ripped the hide off of his lower jaw.
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
Now, this deer was wrapped in baling wire.
Yes, yes, yes.
Wow.
How he got tangled up in that, I do not know.
Well, he certainly thrashed around in a lot of it, didn't he?
Oh, he did. He just got all tore up.
Yeah.
I have to do all my trail cam pictures. You've never seen the baling twine.
Right. Let me ask you this. Are you going to leave that on the mount, on the skull?
Or are you going to... This way. I want to. The wife does. So we're
Oh, man.
Shaking on that right
well,
now.
Well, you know what? I think I'd take some of those really good pictures and maybe frame one and put it beside the buck if you decide to take the wire off. Because that's pretty wild.
I got tons of pictures.
But, yeah.
Yeah, we're negotiating on that right now. I took it over to Brian's, and he was like, he said there's no way he could save the hide because it's so tore up underneath his chin. So we're in a search right now for a hide for it. So,
He'll find one. I'm sure.
It took us, me and the landowner, after I got up there and found him, and that landowner, I called the landowner, he came up and looked at it, took a bunch of pictures. It took us 2.5 hours to get that deer out of there.
Wow, it was a big deer. Yep.
Oh, yeah. He was huge. I know when he was fully dressed, he was about 200 pounds.
Yeah.
He was big.
Cool.
And then on top of all that, somebody must have shot him either earlier in the morning or late that the night before because he had a pumpkin ball in his right hip. And right hip ball up.
Wow.
And so between him hit shot in the hip and with all the stuff he had going on his jaw, I don't think he'd have made it through the winter.
Wow.
He'd have definitely been suffering through the winter.
Quite a story. Yep.
Yeah, so.
All right,
yeah,
well, so good, Jim. You still sound excited about the whole thing.
Oh, I'm still pumped. I'm headed back out again today. I got to give me one more dough, and then I got, a couple more bucks to look at.
All right, good luck to you.
Have a good day, sir.
Thanks, Jim. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There he goes. And Jim in Middle River, we'll come to you in a minute, but we do have to take a break. Time for me to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop, your Browning headquarters, your hunting headquarters from Browning. You know, they carry all the Browning models of everything, including the BPS Hunter shotgun, the best pump shotgun available. It's got bottom ejection. It's available in 12, 16, 20, 28, and 410 as far as pump shotguns are concerned. And with the 12 and the 20, you get three Invector Plus choke tubes, three standard choke tubes with the other gauges. Now, the Maxis shotgun as well, great for waterfowling, autoloader shotgun, waterfowl hunting perfection. 3 and 3.5 inch chambers. The new power drive gas system reduces recoil, and it's available in Mossy Oak Duck Blind camo. The X-Bolt high-powered rifle. If you're looking for a new rifle, I got to tell you, the Browning X-Bolt are very accurate rifles. Put a good set of optics on them, put a good scope on there, and you will have an extremely accurate bolt-action big-game hunting rifle. All standard Magnum and short Magnum calibers are available, adjustable feather trigger, and a detachable rotary magazine. You'll enjoy your Browning purchase from Clyde Sport Shop. Don't forget, Browning, they are your Browning headquarters, your full-line Browning dealer, but they are also your headquarters for any home protection firearms you're looking for. Handguns, shotguns, rifles, ARs, they've got them all. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just up Beltway Exit 9. Give them a call, 410-242-6108. That's 242-6108, www.clydesports.com. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. The Poole family continues the family tradition established by Sam Poole at Sam's Deer Processing in Finksburg. The full-service deer processing shop is located on Bollinger Mill Road off Route 32. Sam's Deer Processing has cut well over 40,000 deer. They know how to quickly skin, cool, and hang your deer as soon as possible for the best-tasting venison. They let your deer age to perfection, then cut it to your specifications. If you want deer jerky, deer sausage, deer hot dogs, deer snack sticks, smoked deer hams, and much more, take your deer to Sam's Deer Processing in Finksburg between Westminster and Eldersburg. Sam's Deer Processing also holds the secret recipe for Maryland's most popular deer bologna. Now, if you happen to bag that trophy buck, you're worried about where you can have the hide and cape safe for the taxidermist, Sam's can handle it. Sam's Deer Processing in Carroll County is the whole package, custom-cut venison with all the specialty venison products to last throughout the year. Take your deer to Sam's Deer Processing or call 410-795-4670. That's 410-795-4670 for Sam's
Deer Processing in Finksburg.
Hey, the Mid-Atlantic Outdoor Sportsman's Expo is coming to the Showplace Arena in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. That's January 11th, January 12th, and January 13th. You could win an African safari and hear great seminar speakers, along with over 100 hunting, fishing, boating, and outdoor specialists to help you plan your next adventure. There's plenty of local Chesapeake Bay experts, as well as African safari guides, big game specialists, and premier gun experts. Even Razor Dobbs, personality from television, is and worldwide hunter, is going to be on hand there as well. Bring a big truck to fit all the fish and tackle available for purchase and a huge selection of outdoor gear. Guest speakers will cover topics like targeting rockfish in the Chesapeake, preparing for your first African hunt, and tackling the bay with light tackle. Go to www.outdoorsportsmanexpo.com, and you can learn more information. That's the Showplace Arena in Upper Marlboro and Mid-Atlantic Outdoor Sportsman Expo, January 11th, 12th, and 13th, 2013. Be there. It's the Doe Harvest Challenge. Deer hunters, by legally harvesting a doe and donating the meat, you not only feed hungry people in Maryland and please local farmers by reducing crop damage, now you could win valuable prize packages this season. Doe Harvest Challenge offers $5,500 in prizes with 18 chances to win. This contest is limited to 13 counties. If you hunt in Carroll, Frederick, Anne Arundel, Calvert, Charles, St. Mary's, or Prince George's counties, or in Queen Anne's, Kent, Caroline, Talbot, Dorchester, Wicomico counties on the shore, and you harvest a doe, all you have to do is donate your deer through participating FHFH deer processor. Every 3 weeks, an up to $300 winner will be drawn in each of the three regions, plus a $500 grand prize package to one lucky hunter in each region. Participating deer processors have entry cards to fill out in their shops. You can enter every doe you donate within the Region B bag limits all season long. The 2012 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Farm Bureau, Maryland Grain Producers Utilization Board, the Maryland Soybean Board, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, contact the Maryland Farm Bureau, 410-922-3426. If you love the great outdoors, you'll love the National Rifle Association's Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show. It's 3 big days of hunting and fishing excitement, January 25th through the 27th at the Eventplex at the Frederick Fairgrounds in Frederick, Maryland. See over 200 hunting and fishing exhibitors, the NRA Great American Whitetail Collection, nationally known seminar speakers, the Mason-Dixon Big Buck Contest, and more. The first 200 attendees each day receive a free Drury Outdoors DVD. General admission, $10. NRA members, $8. Children under 9 admitted free. Weekend passes are available. Renew your NRA membership at the show for $35 and receive a free weekend pass to the show. It's the 2013 NRA Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show, 1 to 7 p.m. on Friday, January 25th, 9 to 7 on Saturday the 26th, and 9 to 5 on Sunday, January 27th at the Frederick Fairgrounds in Frederick. Visit NRAHuntingShow.org for more information. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, we're back. Hey, Jim's been hanging on a long time. I hope he's still there. You still there, Jim?
Yeah, I'm still here, Alan.
Good All right, buddy. Thank you. What's up?
Well, you were talking to that gentleman about the first heart transplant surgeon. His name was Dr. Christian Bernard.
Christian Bernard. Yes, yes. Yeah. DeBakey was the guy in Texas.
I'm in my car, and I just, it popped into my mind. My mind's full of worthless trivia, so.
Well, that can be helpful sometimes, like today. Yes, indeed. Yes, Christian Bernard, exactly right. DeBakey was the guy, and was he in Texas or somewhere that did the first one in the U.S., I believe? Yeah, or was he the artificial heart guy?
Yeah, he was the first official heart transplant.
Yeah, but I mean, DeBakey, was he the artificial heart guy?
Might have been.
I think DeBakey was the artificial heart, and Christian Bernard, yep, exactly. Okay, good deal, man.
Yeah, I went hunting last weekend in Cambridge, and the last minute of the season, I got a spike.
Yep.
And so, you know, we were talking, the two guys that owned the property were there, and they said, you know, well, we're going for trophy deer this morning because it's the start of season. I know they've taken 8, 10, and 12-pointers off of the property.
Right.
So I'm looking for, you know, for trophy deer. And I'm up in my stand, and I see a 5-point and a 6-point, a couple of does, and I let them go by. I mean, they were only 30 yards away. I had them dead to
right. Right.
And so I let them go by, and about, you know, 3 minutes later, I hear a shot go off, and at the other end of the property, the one guy took the 5-point.
Yeah, they're trophy hunters, I know. I've been in touch with some of those trophy hunters.
And then the next day, I had to leave after the morning hunt, and I saw a few of them, but couldn't get a shot at anything. And I texted them that night and said, how'd you do? And the other guy took the 6-point.
Yeah, of course. Yep. Yeah, trophy hunters, I know. Yep.
I figured I'd let them go, and they'd be really nice next year, but they didn't make it.
Yeah, that happens. I mean, you know, unless you have some hard and fast rules. You know, we have a property that we hunt in Cecil County where anything goes, and we have a property in Frederick County where there is a restriction on, you know, spread and that type of thing. You know, you got to take a 15-inch buck and that type of thing. So you know, it does work if you let it work.
Well, they have a problem down there. The adjoining farm is pretty good size, and the guy has, like, 15 or 20 permits for crop damage.
Yeah.
And he doesn't hunt, so he's got a buddy that's come in, and he shoots everything and anything.
Oh, that's tough, man. Yep.
And, you know, so, you know, whatever comes across our property, the one I hunt, they go to their property, and then he drops them.
I got you. All right, buddy. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Thanks for waiting. All right. Well, don't forget, it's Pete Cycle's holiday sales event today at all three locations in Baltimore, which is Overly, Route 1, and the town of Bel Air also on Route 1, and then Severna Park. So everything's on sale, as well as special financing on the Polaris ATVs, 2.99%, and rebates up to $1,000 on the legendary Sportsman, the Ranger.